as I was thinking about this, I was trying to answer that last question, which what keeps us from leading from the soul when we're leading? And you know, I thought that one of the greatest theologians of our time is a little guy named Larry. I don't know if any of you know them, but I've got four kids. They're called VeggieTales. There's Bob and Larry. Bob's a tomato and Larry's a cucumber. And in this scene, we're going to see a little clip. In this scene, is not a good Samaritan. In fact, he's busy. So, if Mike, you can play that for us. Okay, so now you know the secret to not avoiding things. Anyway, this is actually kind of funny. Back in 1973 at Princeton Theological Seminary, they actually did a study. I don't know if any of you are familiar with this, but they went to the seminary and said, oh, you've got to go across the quad and do a presentation. And half the people, they said, and what your presentation is going to be on is the Good Samaritan. And the rest said, just, you know, talk about whatever you feel led to do. And then half of the group, they said, you've got plenty of time. You know, you need to be there in about an hour. The other half said, oh, wait a minute, you were supposed to be there 5 minutes ago. And they sent them on their way. And what they did was they laid someone on the path, moaning, obviously in distress. And some people actually had to step over the person to get to their presentation on the Good Samaritan. These are good seminarian students. And what was the key factor as to whether they stopped and helped the person or not? It wasn't what they were talking about. It wasn't what they were supposed to be doing. It wasn't even, they did a survey to see whether they were, you know, really, you know, what we would call it, evangelical or not. They believed what they were talking about. The number one factor was whether they thought they had time. And so that's why I was thinking of this nice VeggieTale thing. It was first released in 95, based on, you know, Luke 10 and that parable. And so that's kind of was the long introduction to what keeps us from leading well and leading from our soul. Is sometimes we get busy with the work of ministry and the work of things to do. So that's why, as a leadership team, we felt it was important to spend some time and look at the life of Moses. Life of Moses, you know, he was up on Mount Sinai, you know, had some amazing experiences with God. But even in the midst of those, you know, parting the Red Sea and being on Mount Sinai, you know, do we have a responsibility to have a relationship with Jesus, with God? Even doing what is the things that we are struggles with God? You know, pleading for the lives of the people. What would it be like to try to lead on the day when everybody is grumbling about their current situation, God seems distant? What about, you know, you come down from the mountain and your brother has set up a golden idol? How do you lead that day? Or think about this. How would you lead if God himself is opposed to you and says, step away? If your presence does not go with us, don't set this up for you. We have to have your presence with us. Otherwise, there's nothing that will separate us from those people around us. We need you, God. We need you, God. And that really is the cry of this book and the cry of the leadership, that in the midst of the busyness, in the midst of the goods, our cry has to be, go with us. Unless you go with us, what they're, you know, trying to sell AT&T broadband to all the international students, or trying to sell the Time Warner cable to all the international students. What's going to separate us from them? You know, it's going to be our love and our being, having been in the presence of God. So there's one other word we have to look at before we can actually look too much at these things, which is, what is a crucible? So the subtitle of this book is... A place of crushing. Oh, sign me up! I'll take two. Yeah, it's one of those burning things. There's one of them signed, and then take steel and make it like 2,000 degrees or something, and then pour and shake it, mold it and stuff. So it's hard for me to read over my left shoulder, so I'll read off my sheets. It's a place or set of circumstances where people or things are subjected to forces that test them and often make them change. So this is a place or set of circumstances. Anybody here ever experience being in a crucible? You're like pressure from every side. Anybody here not experience it ever? Yeah, that's probably a better question. Yeah. Well, it's part of days when we feel like God has just fed the 5,000 in front of us. And at IFI, we see that a lot. You know, it's like, I don't know where the students be coming from, but, there's still some chicken in the bottom of the bowl. So, praise God. The last one goes and sits down, and you look, and every bowl is empty, but everybody had a... We don't know where it came from exactly. So, we're going to... That's kind of all the background and setup to then talk about, this is from the beginning of the book, on page 22. It says, "For what will profit them if they gain the whole world and forfeit the soul?" Now, this was Jesus talking in Matthew 16. So the author, Ruth, tells a story. She said, recently I made a comment to a friend that surprised us both. In the quietness of listening to each other's souls, these words slipped out. I'm tired of helping other people enjoy God. I just want to enjoy God myself. Ever been a little bit, you don't show up today? Something like that. The statement took us both by surprise because it was full of such longing and unedited truth. It was sobering as well because what I was really saying was that my leadership, which usually comes from a place of deep connection with my own soul, was at that moment totally disconnected from the current reality of my life. It alerted me to the fact that I was slipping into a danger zone and I needed to pay attention. Whether it's the small group you're leading, ministry that you're involved in, maybe it's even in your own family. Don't ask me questions today. It's easy to get busy with the work of ministry that we forget the God who called us into ministry in the first place. And if we don't remember who it is that called us into ministry, then we miss what Moses said, which is, unless you go with us, don't send us up from here. Because without your presence, nothing will separate us or distinguish us from those around us. And that's really all we have. We have our availability and we have our history and our current experience of relationship with God to invite internationals just to come alongside and see. They had at the front desk the newsletter, our last newsletter. And I think this is such an awesome example of it. Was it Steve and Diane? Yeah, so some of our friends that work with Phil over at the Urbana Ministry and Urbana University, they had invited some international students over for the weekend to spend time with them. But then a longtime family friend in the church had passed away. And so there was a funeral. And so they called up the international students and say, "I'm really sorry, but we need to cancel because we're going to a funeral." And both international students said, "Well, I've never seen an American funeral. Can I come? I'd like to see what happens." And so, here they use just their life circumstances. You know, I'm going to a funeral. Hey, what's up with you? And, you know, the joy and the pain, the celebration of life, and, you know, just the loss of a loved one. You know, and in that, you know, this, the international students experience a reality of God, the hope that is in Christians that they never experienced before. So, here, this is really critical. You know, probably right now. But what would it look like for me to live consistently from my soul, in place of my own encounter with God, rather than primarily leading from my head for activism or passions? Or, as some of us, our performance-oriented drivenness. Well, I have to do it. They're in need. You know, there's students that are in need, and there are students in need. But what would it look like? Would it look different? You know, this is a question for you to think about. You may not have time in this session to thoroughly explore it, but first part of that question is, are you leading from drivenness, or are you leading from your relationship with God who gives you a hunger to have opportunities to serve these people that he loves that don't know his name? What is it that drives you? And honestly, the last one is me, you know, 90% of the time. You know, one of my roles is director of strategic events. If you don't have at least 300 or 400 people, don't involve me, you know. So, I mean, that's what they say around the office sometimes. You know, I do the welcome party for 1,000 of my closest international friends. Okay. You know, we had a picnic. We had over 500 people show up. You know, we have a banquet every year in April, and one of the flyers you got is we want to have 800 people there come and hear the story, hear the things that you heard this morning, you know, hear some of the testimony, and say, can you stand idly by and not get involved? You know, that's one of our primary ways to fund the work of the ministry. You know, these are the things they asked me to do. Plus then teach and disciple our interns and teach them about leadership. And then lead a Bible study and lead in my home too. And I'm not big. So, you know, it's interesting, you know. It's a challenge for me to continue to look towards God and say, okay, God, you know, I've got my plan. And, you know, I like the old A-team, you know. Like, I love it when a good plan comes together. But sometimes I show up at the event and I'm like, I've done my stuff, but now, God, you've got to bring the people. You know, and I was thinking even as I was preparing this and as we were reading the book, that, you know, I have on my list, you know, 123 things that need to be done between now and the banquet in April. But as I was thinking about it today, you know, I need to add a thing every 10 or something that says, stop and pray, you know, and include the Holy Spirit to direct me.